بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, you know, I was really thinking about what to cover for this particular retreat. Every retreat that we do retreats on an average about a quarterly basis. This is the first one we're doing in this masjid, and this is the first one this Ramadan. One sort of point that was really sticking out in my mind for the last couple of months, maybe a little bit shorter, was about conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaking with Allah. It's really interesting because when we think about conversing with Allah, from a young age, if you think about it, you know, we're taught to learn to speak in certain situations, environments, and circumstances. So for instance, we're taught, look, you know, you talk to your parents, hey, there's a certain adab or the certain manner by which you address your parents. There's a certain manner, or you can say style, by which you address your friends. If you have to give a speech in a public setting, we're taught, you know, there's Toastmasters and all these other sort of societies and clubs that teach you how to address an audience that's sitting and paying attention to you. We're taught, you know, when you go to court and you have to, you know, speak to the judge, this is the tone you're going to use. This is the attitude that you're going to display. We're taught how to have conversations in so many different scenarios. But what we, I don't think, are taught well enough is, how do I have a conversation with Allah? How do I have a conversation with Allah? How do I speak with Allah? At most, we're taught from a young age, make dua. Make dua. But what does make dua mean, right? For a child or even for an adult in the same. Make dua means raise your hands and say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Ameen. Blow on your face and move on. That's what we think of as conversation with Allah. Or if someone's taught, oh no, make dua for what you want or what you need, well then at most maybe dua is, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I need a big home. Oh Allah, grant me Jannah. And that's the extent by which we have conversations with Allah. It's relatively limited. And I know this because, you know, there's many times that if you just look at the general community, when there's an opportunity for like a group dua, which there's value, like a khatam dua, for instance, everyone flocks toward it, right? And afterward, many people say, wow, that was an incredible dua, right? That was an incredible dua. And part of that is coming from the general community just not being comfortable being able to converse with Allah Ta'ala in that way on their own. Think about it. I mean, why is it that such and such person on a mic in front of the masjid is the one who can communicate with Allah on my behalf, when Allah Ta'ala created me independently and individually, and He's put me into this world independently and individually, and yet I can't have that conversation with Him? And more importantly, the reality is, we're going to be standing before Allah Ta'ala alone one day. Even right now, we're alone with Allah, and you know, when we're by ourselves at times. But on the Day of Judgment, we will be directly before Allah, without support, without help, without an intermediary, without the imam of the masjid being able to plead it. Maybe the Prophet ﷺ, we hope for that. But beyond that, we're on our own. And we are going to have a conversation with Allah. So doesn't that require some preparation? Doesn't that require some preparation? Have I thought about, wait, what am I planning to say to Allah on that day? And the du'as that the Prophets alayhi wasalam have taught us are essentially a preparation for us as well. So, look, who teaches us to speak with Allah? It's the most important conversation that we have. We speak with a lot of people, we text a lot, we post a lot, but the conversations that we have intimately by ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most important conversations that we have. So, where do we learn how to speak with Allah? Where do we learn? Of course, the Prophet ﷺ, of course, who's taught us everything. But in particular, if you want to learn, or if I want to learn, the exemplification or the proper adab by which I communicate with Allah, it's from the Prophets alayhi wasalam. It's from the Prophets alayhi wasalam. It's incredible. It's incredible. You look through the Quran, and we'll see example after example of example of a prophet speaking to Allah. And what's amazing, and we'll see, over the course of the next 24 hours or so, I hope, inshallah, and I have examples or stories, or let's say, from about maybe seven or eight prophets in the Quran, it's amazing to see how they speak with Allah and how much it contrasts with how we speak with Allah. There's so much adab, there's so much etiquette in their conversation with Allah. It is mind-blowing. And I'm saying this because I've been so immersed in this for the last like few weeks now. And it's incredible. It's almost like perspective changing to shed light on how the Prophet alayhi wasalam conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a completely so my hope is over the course of the next 24 hours, especially in the sessions, is that we begin to look at how the Prophet alayhi wasalam communicated with Allah depending on a situation. One session will be dedicated to how did the Prophet say sorry to Allah? How did they apologize to Allah? Another will be on how do they ask something from Allah? Another will be pertaining to how did they express their challenges to Allah? All of these are things that you and I should be doing regularly. But let's see how the Prophet alayhi wasalam had these conversations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, we're going to take from those intimate conversations that the Prophet had with Allah. Of course, we're going to try to learn them, because what better way to speak with Allah than to use the exact words of the prophets? But perhaps more important than that for us here this weekend is to take those conversations, learn the etiquette and the mannerisms by which they did this and spoke with Allah, so that we can then personalize our own conversations with Allah. So that I'm no longer dependent on someone else in the community or someone else in the masjid or some other person who I'm hoping is going to save me in this life and on the day of judgment to speak with Allah. But rather, I feel comfortable beginning to do this on my own. It's about having personalized conversations and discourses with Allah. So that's my hope, is that inshallah by tomorrow, all of us will have taken that back. All of us will be able to take that back. Now, what I want to start with, the first session, is going to be dedicated to how the Prophet alayhi wasalam said sorry to Allah. So I'll just go over the different themes that we have. One will be how they apologized or said sorry to Allah. Another session will be on how they called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they were stressed or when they felt they were under stress. Another session will be dedicated to how they shared their gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another session will be dedicated to how they highlighted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness in their du'as. And there's more, but this is just to give you an idea of what we're going to be covering. So the first session, which I think will be now, and then it'll also be in the 5:30 session as well, it'll extend into that, is going to be focused on how the prophets, alayhi wasalam, apologized to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How they apologize to Allah. It's really eye-opening. It's very different, I think, than the way you and I may think about it. What I want to do to start the session, maybe we'll start and end with the session, is the first example of this is going to be from the Prophet ﷺ. It's probably the only time, maybe one or two times, we'll touch on what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. And we're going to be passing out these evening dua sheets, morning and evening dhikr sheets. And I just want you to take a look at these. Just take one, and then we're going to collect it back at the session. But I want you to do is I want you to look at the dua that's on page one, and it's at the top. And if you don't know Arabic, just read the translation to yourself just briefly, and then just hold on to it. I wanted to start with this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. This dua that you just recited, you may have come across this dua before, and this dua is called Sayyidul Istighfar, the best or the leader of the istighfar. And the reason is because the Prophet ﷺ said, it's an authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites this dua in the morning and passes away by the evening, this person is guaranteed Jannah. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites this in the evening and passes away before the morning is guaranteed Jannah. Think about the power of this dua. Okay? So let's look at what this dua is saying. So Allah subhanahu, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to recite the following. It goes, Allahumma anta rabbi. Allahumma anta rabbi. I want you to focus on the, you don't have to read at this point. Just focus on, you can focus on me. You've all read it now. Look at the wording and look at what's being communicated. In this dua of istighfar, which means the ultimate way by which you and I can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to completely forgive us. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. We know it's so powerful that its effect is complete repentance, because we enter Jannah if we recite it and we pass away before the evening. So look at the power of this dua. So pay attention to the wording now. Allahumma anta rabbi. It starts off by saying, O Allah, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. La ilaha illa anta. There is no deity worthy of worship, no being worthy of worship except you. Amazing, right? The dua starts off, it's not about me, it's about Allah. It's not about me. Our dua start with me. Me. I need this, I want that, give me this, give me that. But the Prophet is telling us, this is how you're going to start this dua. By removing the emphasis on yourself, because none of us are anything except with Allah. And none of us were here except that Allah decided us to be here. And don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the fact that ultimately everything comes from Allah. So he reminds us, he's saying, make this statement to Allah. Remind yourself as you present yourself to Allah, Allahumma anta rabbi, O Allah, you are my Lord. And reset your kalima with Allah. Because it's possible for the last 10, 8 hours of the day, we may have worshipped something other than Allah. Yeah, maybe our iman, legally speaking, is still there, and we still believe in Allah and the Prophet, but there's perhaps other things that we've given preference to over Allah, which is essentially a form of us worshipping those other things. So he's reminding us, before you do anything, shift your attention to Allah. O Allah, you are my Lord. La ilaha illa anta. There is no being, no deity, nothing worthy of worship except you. And then it continues, khalaqtani. You created me. You created me. Let me remind myself here, I didn't come on my own. I'm not independent. I'm fully dependent on Allah. I'm fully dependent on Allah. Because I may live through this world, right, thinking that I'm independent. That the money that I earn is from me. In fact, the money that I earn from me, the wealth that I have is from me. Everything I attribute to myself and my efforts and my energy, or to randomness, whatever, some macro evolution. And I attribute it to that, and I forget the fact that, hold on, I only came into existence because of you. So we're reminding ourselves when we're telling Allah, خَلَقْتَنِي, you created me. Allah knows that he created us. I don't need to tell Allah that. He knows that, obviously. But it's a reminder for myself where I came from. خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ, and I am your servant. Finally, I come into the picture. And how do I come into the picture? I'm still not asking Allah for anything. I'm not saying, give me this, forgive me that. No. خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ, you created me and I am your servant. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَوَعْدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ, and I am on your covenant and your promise as much as I'm able to. I am on your covenant and your promise as much as I'm able to. Amazing. We've recited this dua, and up until this point, there is no request from Allah. We haven't asked Allah to forgive us. We haven't asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us, to grant us Jannah because I'm reciting this. Nothing. Up until this point, it's all about Allah. And if I'm bringing myself into the picture, it's simply in the context of who Allah is and where I stand. You created me. You're the creator. I'm just created. وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ, you're the one who deserves to be worshipped. I'm just your servant. And I know that I am supposed to be on this promise and this covenant with you, even though, and I'm just internalized, even though I haven't fulfilled the rights of that promise and that covenant. But I'm, Allah, at this point in time, I am stating to you as much as I'm able, this is what I'm trying to do. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِن شَرِّ مَا صَنَعْتَ, I seek refuge in you from whatever evil I may have done. أَبُوءُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ, back to Allah, I recognize your blessing upon me. وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِ, and I recognize my own sin. I recognize your mercy, your ni'mah, your blessings upon me, and I recognize my own sin. SubhanAllah. This is the lead up. This is the lead up to this one request that I'm now going to make. What's the request? As a result of this, faghfir li. Because you're great, because you're who should be worshipped, because you created me, I am on your covenant, I'm your promise, as much as I'm able. I'm not deserving, but because of all of these reasons, faghfir li. So forgive me. Why? It continues. Why forgive me? فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Incredible. For a brief moment, I make a request. All that build up, one word. فَغْفِرْ لِي is one word. It has a dhamir, fine. One word. فَغْفِرْ لِي. One word request. And then immediately turns its attention back to Allah again. Because we're nothing without Allah. We're nothing without Allah. And all of our attention should always be on Allah. And then he says, فَغْفِرْ لِي. Why? فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Why? Because most certainly, no one forgives sin except for you. No one is able to forgive except for you. Meaning, what we're essentially saying is, oh Allah, forgive me, because I don't have anywhere else to turn. I can't get forgiveness from the car dealership. I can't get it from my employer. I can't get it from my parents. I can't earn Jannah from any other source or avenue. The only direction that I can turn when I need that one thing, which is salvation for eternity, the only direction that I can look toward is toward you. So why should you forgive me? Not because I deserve it. And at no point in this entire dua is there any claim, right, to our service to Allah, right? Don't forgive me because I deserve it, because I've asked for it, because I'm entitled to it. No, it's not about me. Why forgive me? Because you can forgive, and it doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form if you forgive me. And I have nowhere else to turn except in your direction. If there was somewhere else for me to go, it's a different story. But I actually have nowhere else that I can look or nowhere else that I can turn to. So for that reason, forgive me. Now, amazing. The Sayyid al-Istighfar, the dua that is taught to us, that's guaranteeing us Jannah, and essentially, hopefully, guaranteeing us forgiveness, that entire dua, which is, I haven't counted the words, a lot of words, at only one point in that entire dua is there an ask and a request from Allah. Which means, sometimes when we're making dua to Allah, it's not necessarily, it doesn't always require an ask. What is this dua teaching us? This is a conversation we have with Allah. There's a build-up. If there is going to be a request, it's going to be with the utmost display of humility as well. Rather than, oh Allah, look what I did. Look who I am. Look at my degree. No one else is practicing. I'm practicing. Forgive me. No. We humble ourselves. And we appreciate Allah's greatness, His magnificence, His ability to forgive. And for all of those reasons, we present that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hopes that He forgives us as well. So this is known as Sayyidul Istighfar. And this is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I think we'll pause here and we'll continue this conversation on how the Prophet, so far we just covered a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in the Quran, a couple of examples of how the Prophet apologized to Allah. It'll have a very similar tone to what we've read here, but I think it's just perhaps even more profound. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to learn this dua and recite it regularly and consistently. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and grant us Jannah because of its recitation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to follow in the footsteps of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Prophets. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.